This is West Southwest Brief. I'm Savilla Mann. Reporters try not to become the news, but Webb Miller couldn't help it. In 1914, the young newspaper journalist out of Chicago was on an assignment when he was assaulted and briefly kidnapped. The incident helped to launch Miller on a remarkable career. He became a foreign correspondent, covering events from the Pancho Villa expedition to the Indian independence movement to the Spanish Civil War.
You can kind of follow world history by following the footprints of Webb Miller.
Steve Arsenault is the director of the Dowagiac Area History Museum. Miller was born on a farm near Pokagon in 1891, and the museum's collection includes photos of him on the job, as well as old press passes and passports.
I love his passports because he had to get a new one every couple of years because he was always getting them, you know, because he was traveling so often and they had to get canceled.
Arsenault says Miller's reporting, especially in India, is still drawing interest. We sat down at the museum to discuss how a self-described shy young man with an aversion to violence ended up in journalism, covering executions, then wars, and once finding himself tied up in a salt baron's car. Arsenault starts at the beginning of Miller's life.
The best information that we have on Webb Miller's earliest days comes from his autobiography, I Found No Peace. And he grew up to an itinerant farm family south of Dowagiac, about halfway between Dowagiac and Niles, near Sumnerville and Pokagon, which was a really just small community between the two cities. And he grew up and he walked to school in Dowagiac. His favorite pastime, according to himself, was going to the library, getting books.
His journalism career really began in Chicago.
Yes. So his career began at the Chicago American, and he was covering the beat. You know, he was waiting in police stations, waiting for the prostitutes or the murderers to come in, and so he'd cover those types of stories. And I think that he even wrote that it was the underbelly of the American existence that he was covering.
He's not particularly covered in glory at that point. I think they call him a leg man, right? He goes to the event and then doesn't somebody else actually get to write it up?
Yeah, he's doing some of that, but you know, sometimes he's not really getting bylines. He's what's called a cub reporter, so it's just a kind of just going out there doing the legwork and kind of piecing the information together. But I think it is that Morton Salt story that really propels him to a little bit of notoriety.
This thing that happened to him, it is noteworthy, so tell me a bit about that.
Morton's daughter eloped and got married, and there was the big story out of Chicago at the time. And
this is Mark Morton, who co-founded Morton Salt?
Yeah, so this is the Morton Salt family, yes. And so every reporter in the city is trying to get this story about the elopement. And so they're all trying to get to, I believe it's Wheaton, Illinois, trying to get to the grounds, trying to get to interview somebody. Eventually, Mark Morton says, if any reporter gets onto my property, we're going to hogtie them and throw them out. You know, I mean, they're going to do some damage to these reporters if they got onto his property. Well, Webb Miller, I guess, viewed it as a challenge, and he went and he got onto the grounds. And when he was discovered, Mark Morton decided to follow through on his threat, and he hogtied him, threw him in the trunk of his vehicle, and took off to take him down to the sheriff at the time.
In the reading the autobiography, the details are really stunning. You know, so he's beaten unconscious. He wakes up, he's tied up, and it sounded as though Mark Morton was trying to get his employees to literally tar and feather Webb Miller, but they wouldn't do it. They were scared. And so then the way Webb Miller tells it, he'd hired a car to get out the property. So when he's leaving the property, having been tied up and he's in the car of Mark Morton and they're driving off and then they get in that accident, you know, Webb had signaled for his driver to follow. So Mark Morton crashes this car in which the kidnapped Webb Miller is tied up, and then they're both cut and bruised, but Mark Morton, you know, leaps out and then commands Webb Miller's own driver to take them onto the police station, which they do, it sounds like. And then I think Webb Miller is arrested.
He is arrested. He's eventually freed, and, you know, no charges are, you know, he doesn't go to jail or anything. But I if my memory serves right, Webb Miller eventually does sue him and receives a pretty small amount of money from the Morton Salt family.
And this did do something for his career.
Yeah, I mean, this is what propels him, kind of gave him a sense of what he could do, and eventually leads to him leaving the Chicago American to freelance down at the borders to cover the Pancho Villa insurrection.
It was a bit daunting to even try to put together a list of the events that Webb Miller covered, because there's so many of them. They're so high profile, and you know, I'd hate to leave one out. But do you just want to take a stab at that?
I'll give it the best shot I can. So when he goes to the border to cover the Pancho Villa insurrection, he's doing a great job getting the stories and working sources, and just really immediately makes an impression on some of those national reporters that are down there at the scene. And he gets a job with the United Press. And from there, after he's got the UP job, then he's sent to Europe to cover World War I, the tail end of the war in Europe, and then he stays in Europe, and he's covering the peace negotiations after the war. He's covering Sinn Féin in Ireland. He's starting to cover Spain because there's the civil war is already getting started in Spain. He's covering, the big one is in 1930 when he's covering the Gandhi India movement.
He got some particular recognition, I think, for his coverage of the Salt March in India. Is that right?
It wasn't really at the time. Today, and I just actually got an email over the weekend from somebody in India who's making a documentary about Gandhi's 150th birthday, and they want pictures of Webb Miller covering it because they recognize today what a profound impact Webb Miller's stories had. So he was the first Western journalist sent over to India to cover this Gandhi independence movement. And the Salt March at Dharasani, which is highlighted in the movie Gandhi, if you've seen the movie Gandhi, he's given this description of the incident as it happens, as these peaceful protesters are being beaten. And it made such an impact that, every newspaper picked up this story across the globe, and they printed out hundreds of thousands of copies of his dispatch that he sent and handed it out in the United States Capitol and other places across the globe. So it really was one that had an impact at the time, and today we really recognize the deep impact that it had, because it really did change world opinion against the British Empire and what they were doing in India.
Steve Arsenault, thanks so much for your time.
All right, thanks for having me.
Steve Arsenault is the director of the Dowagiac Area History Museum. We met there to talk about journalist Webb Miller, who grew up on a farm near Dowagiac and became a noted foreign correspondent. You can hear more about Miller in WMUK's West Southwest podcast. Among other things, we learn about the solace that Miller, the war reporter, found in Henry David Thoreau's book, Walden.
He always carried a copy of that book around with him all the way up until the day that he fell off of a train and blacked out London.
The West Southwest podcast is available through Apple iTunes and by searching podcasts in Google Music. This is West Southwest Brief. I'm Savella Mann.